invite you to open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. So before we get into the communion, today we're going to be celebrating the communion. Before we get into the communion, I want to share a reflection of God's word with you. Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 18. How many thank God for our music pastor, Pastor King? Isn't he awesome? Just faithful. And those who worshiped here, Eden, Rick, and Amanda, and Gabriel on the drums. Just thankful. Thankful for Michael and Laura and Edwin upstairs, right? They do a great job, right? Amen. All our ushers and leaders, you guys are amazing. You know, there's so much that is done by unseen. And so thankful for each and every one of you. I want to encourage you, if you feel like you need a place in the church and you want to serve, approach one of our pastors and leaders and say, you know, I'm ready to serve somewhere. And we'll start that conversation so we can find you in the right place. As you walked in, we had greeters and security. They do such a beautiful job in making sure that all are well received. Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 19. Our theme today is the joy of sharing the communion. The joy of sharing the communion. Luke chapter 22, verses 14. So this is the Last Supper. Jesus is having the Last Supper with the disciples the night before he was betrayed. Right? The next day is crucifixion, Good Friday. Luke chapter 22. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The joy of sharing the communion. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the teaching of your word. I pray, Lord God, that the teaching of your word would land in our hearts, O Lord, this morning. And as we, in a few minutes, begin to celebrate the communion, Lord, we would celebrate it even with more meaning, Father God. And it would draw us even closer to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The joy of communion. The joy of sharing the communion. Some churches serve the communion weekly. You may go to some churches, even some evangelical churches. They serve the communion weekly. Others serve it monthly. Some churches serve it every 3 months. Some serve it once a year on Easter week. In our church, we have the practice of serving it a few times a year. In the beginning of the year, during our 10 days of fasting and praying, we dedicate a day to the communion. Easter week, we also do it during family camp. We do it. We set aside a Tuesday in the summertime. Thanksgiving weekend as well. We'll take the morning of Thanksgiving, and we celebrate communion together. But it had been some time that we don't celebrate communion on a Sunday together, and I just have felt in my heart to do that on this day and bring a teaching and what it means and how it affects us as we take it, right? So before we share, I just want to bring this reflection today as we get ready to celebrate the communion. And the communion, we're reminded that it's an ordinance of the church, right? The evangelical church, the Christian church, we have two ordinances. One is the baptism in water, and the other one is the communion. It's two ordinances. Why are they ordinances? Because Jesus ordered them. Jesus gave us this command. He told us, he taught us, and he told us, go baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? It was an ordinance. It was a command. Why do we get baptized in water? Because we need it for salvation? No. We get baptized in water. Why? Because Jesus commanded us to do it, and then he exampled it as well. Another ordinance is the Holy Communion. For us, we take the communion because Jesus told us that we should take the communion. Is it an element for salvation? No. Salvation is by grace found in Jesus Christ only. Why do we do it? We do it because Jesus commanded us to do it, and we do it out of obedience to the Lord. And he tells us the night before he was betrayed, Jesus brought together the disciples. He broke the bread and shared it with them. He took the cup of the vine, the cup of the fruit of the vine, and he shared it with them. And he told them, this is my body, which is broken for you. He took the cup and said, this is the symbol of the new covenant now given to you. So we as a church celebrate this ordinance, this command. And we realize that it comes from scriptures, from the very words of Jesus. Even the Apostle Paul, he writes, for I received from the Lord. He writes that in Corinthians. Why does he write that in Corinthians? We know that the Apostle Paul did not walk with Jesus, but it was a teaching taught by Jesus. And that's why he says, I received from the Lord, right? It's a reminder that Jesus himself gives us this command. So today, we're going to celebrate the communion in just a few minutes. And I want to share with you three reminders with regard to the communion. The first one is that Jesus reminds us that we need community. That we need community. Jesus, I love that we read in Luke chapter 22, verse 15. He says, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I love that verse 14 tells us that he's reclined at the table. It's a reminder to us of the humanity of Jesus, that he was 100% God, but he's also 100% man. And Jesus loved community. He loved his disciples. They were his dearest friends. They were his disciples. One would put his head on his chest, and it was a beloved disciple, someone near to Jesus. And when we look at the communion, we can see that he desired to be with his disciples. It was a sense of understanding Jesus' aspect of being human, that he wanted to be among his people. He wanted to be among his disciples. He wanted to be among his friends. He was dealing with some betrayal there from Judas. He was dealing with some sadness with regard to what had happened, what was going to happen, with regard to some disappointment as well. We can see that it was a battle even within him. Just a little bit later, Jesus finds himself in Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane. And we know the prayer of Gethsemane, and we know that Jesus shed tears like blood of tears in Gethsemane. In fact, in Luke chapter 22, verse 43, it tells us an angel from heaven appeared to him, to Jesus, and what? And strengthened him. It reminds us that the Holy Communion reminds us of community. It reminds us of the humanity of Jesus, that Jesus gathered with them to share with them. He gathered with them because he wanted to. He gathered with them because he may have been dealing with a sense of loneliness, a sense of sadness and disappointment. And he gathers with them because he eagerly desires to share the Passover with them. It was the longing of his heart to be with his friends, to be with his disciples. See, Holy Communion reminds us that within our humanity, we need community. That's why we as the people, we gather together as a church to celebrate communion. That's why it's not often seen people celebrating communion by themselves. The practice is that the church would gather together for community. We, the people, come together as a people of God, and we remember Jesus. We remember the cross. We're reminded that as we gather together, we all have just one Savior. Although among us there may be much diversity, but before Jesus there is only unity. Although among us there may be different ethnic backgrounds and different social statuses, but when we come before the presence of the Lord, we come as one people. And he teaches us and he reminds us that we are all just servants of the Lord. Equality among us. In fact, before they entered into that Last Supper, no one wanted to wash no one's feet. And that's the story where Jesus takes the towel out and he washes every one of the feet of his disciples, letting them know that we are all in the same place and we are all serving the same people. He teaches them about ministry, and he teaches them about serving one another. And although they didn't always get it at that very moment, at the time of fulfillment, it all came together for them. Today, as we gather to share the community, that we will remember that God calls us as one body and one people. That is why in the tradition of the church, we gather together. In fact, the Apostle Paul in Corinthians, he encourages the church to gather together, and then he encourages the church to examine ourselves. When we read that chapter and we read the chapter before, we recognize that there was an issue within the Corinthian church where the poor were being treated bad and the rich had better things, and there was division within the church, and the poor were in a small place and the rich had a bigger space, and the poor were eating water and bread and the rich were eating meats and wines, and there was a division within the church. And the Apostle Paul tells them, examine yourself. And it had everything to do with community, how we loved each other and how we looked at each other. That's why I love that the Apostle Paul reminds us, make every effort to keep the unity of peace through the Spirit. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. It's a reminder to us that as we gather together, we are one people that have one Savior. Perhaps today you find yourself even far from Jesus. Well, he invites you to share this time with him. It's an invitation from him. I love that in Revelation it says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. The communion has everything to do with community. And Jesus reminds us that as a church we are to gather together as one people, serving one God with one goal, to remember our Savior who died on the cross 2,000 years ago. And he tells us, examine ourselves. How have we treated our neighbor? How have we treated those that have offended us? He reminds us to examine ourselves and says, you know what? To love one another. We know we're all imperfect people and we all make mistakes. And we all have to deal with some of our mistakes. But how we respond to our mistakes shows how mature we are in the things of Christ. And the church says, so as we get ready to celebrate the communion in a few minutes, I want to remind you that the communion has everything to do with community. And the church says, number two, Jesus reminds us of his purpose. In these verses, he says, and he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. They didn't understand all that what that meant at that moment. But Jesus was letting them know that the shedding of his blood would bring forgiveness for sins for many. And he was reminding them of his purpose, affirming words that he already had shared with them, that maybe they couldn't put it all together just yet, but in a few days it would come together for them. But Jesus had said words like, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. That Jesus was reestablishing the relationship that he had. Jesus was reestablishing the relationship that was lost at the fall of man. And he was letting them know Jesus came to save them, was lost. They couldn't always put it all together. But here at the communion, he is reminding them in this last conversation before the crucifixion, he is reminding them of his very purpose. Words that he had shared with them. Words like, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Words like reminding us that he's come that we would have life and have it to the fullest. We're reminded that sin came and destroyed the very thing that God had wanted for humanity, but Jesus comes to restore it. I love that the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verse 18, consequently, just as one trespass resulted in the condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. Jesus was letting them know what Adam destroyed, I'm about to restore. It was his purpose. Jesus was affirming his words. Words like, I have come into this world as light, that so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. He was affirming the very teachings that he had laid with his disciples and letting them know this was all coming together. They didn't get it yet, but a time was coming when they would understand it. At the Last Supper, Jesus was reminding them of his ultimate purpose. The good news for us today that we're reminded that because of Jesus, we now also enjoy this new covenant, the forgiveness of our sins. We also today can approach the table knowing the presence of Jesus. That we know that we can approach the table today, and our faith in a resurrected Jesus allows us to enjoy communion with him. That he came that you and I would have life and we would have it to the fullest. I love that the Bible teaches us that we enjoy this new life in Christ. I love that the Apostle Paul writes, the old is gone. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. He speaks about you and me. The old is gone and the new has come. You and I are a new creation. Jesus tried to explain this to Nicodemus when he said, we must be born again. There must be a new life in Christ. And I love that it's a new creation. It's not a better you. You're not a better you than you were before Christ. You are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, and you are born again. That is the purpose of communion. We are reminded of this new covenant that Jesus leaves with us, that gives us. That's why the baptism in water is a reminder. The old man is gone. The water is a symbol of tomb. The old man is gone. And here we resurrect a new creation. And we make a public declaration that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And if you're here today and you've asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, but you haven't been baptized in water, approach one of our pastors and say, hey, I want to make a public declaration that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And I want to be baptized because I recognize that I'm not new and improved. The old is gone and I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. You see, communion reminds us that we get to share this great purpose that God has in us. See, this means we have this new life in Christ. You know, this new life. That's why we don't handle things like we used to. Before Christ, when somebody would offend you, betray you, or hurt you, you handled it a certain way. Today, the new creation handles it different, right? We forgive differently. We serve differently. We respond to trials and hardships and temptation. We respond differently. Why? Because we're not who we used to be. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And we're not perfect yet. We're still in this process of sanctification, in this transition from one level of glory to another level of glory. But I know for sure that we're not who we used to be. Right? And as we celebrate the communion, we're reminded of this new life that we have in Christ Jesus. It is the purpose that Christ came down to earth to give us this new covenant. And I love that we get to know Jesus so personal. You see, communion reminds us that we don't get to know him simply as a creator God. We don't get to know him simply as a powerful God. We don't get to know him simply as just one that saves or one that heals. No, no. But we get to know him as a personal God. He's not just the God of the creator. He's just not the God that has created the heavens and the earth. But he is the God that knows our name. Right? He just doesn't create the world and let it go, but the person of Christ is offered to us each and every day of our lives. He's personal with us. He's so involved in our lives, the Bible says, that he knows the hairs counted on our heads. For some, that's a little more work for him than for others. Right? But communion reminds us of his purpose. See, the communion reminds us of his purpose to meet us in our very place of need, and he becomes our Savior and our Lord, one that walks with us every single day. And the church says, I've said this before, many people want a Savior, but they don't want a Lord. Save me from my sin. Save me from my addiction. Save me from my temptations. But don't tell me how to live. Save me, but don't be my Lord. But for us to come to know who Jesus is, he must be our Savior and he must be our Lord. Many people want the hands of God, but they don't want the face of God. They want God's blessings. They want God's good things. But God wants to give us his blessings, but he wants us to enjoy his presence as well. As we celebrate the joy of communion, we're reminded that communion has everything to do with community. It has everything to do with the purpose that Jesus has come to this world. And number three, Jesus reminds us of his divinity. His divinity. Verse 16 says, "For I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." Verse 18, he says it again, two verses later. "For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." In these three verses, he says it twice. He's saying the kingdom of God will be established. It will come. It's a reminder. Jesus was letting them know, regardless of what you're going to see in the next couple of days, remember, the next couple of days is crucifixion. Regardless of what you're going to see, I want to let you know that this is not the last time that we will share this cup. He was letting them know of his position as divine, that he was divine, that he was all-powerful, that he was God. And he was letting them know that as I am here today in humanity form, in incarnation, you will also see me in glory. He was letting them know that he is not only human, but he is also divine. So he tells them, we will share this again in the new kingdom, when the new kingdom is established. He makes them a promise by saying the same statement two times. Jesus is telling his disciples now, regardless of what you have seen in the next couple of days or what you will see in the next couple of days, it's not the last time that we will share this cup. There is a time when the kingdom of God will be established and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. He was letting them know there is a second part to this. You've come to know the incarnation, the divine in flesh, but soon you will come to know me at the right hand of the Father in all glory. It was a reminder. The communion was reminding the disciples that he's not only man, but he is God. The Holy Communion is a reminder to us that what began in the manger 2,000 years ago ends with his return to heaven. It's a reminder to us that Jesus fulfilled his earthly ministry and he was successful in all that was entrusted to him. It was an affirmation to us that he won and that one day we will see him in full glory. Revelation 3:21 tells us, Jesus conquered and sat down with the Father on his throne where he receives unending praise. So the communion, when Jesus sits with his disciples, he was letting them know, we will sit again in the new kingdom. They didn't understand it all because they had not experienced it all yet. But it all came together for them at one time. So in these verses, what is he promising us? He's promising us that he will come again. It's a reminder for the church that this is not our last stop. It's a reminder for the church that the trumpet will sound and the church will be lifted up and we will find ourselves in the clouds with Jesus and we will see him face to face. The day will come. I hope that we long for that day. I hope that we long for the day to hear the trumpet sound and find ourselves in the presence of Jesus. Not because we want him to rescue us from this lost world. No. In fact, I think we should long to be in this lost world because in this lost world, we are the only example of a living Savior. We are the body of Christ and the world cannot know about him if not for the church. So our longing should not be to be rescued. For while we're here, we are soldiers for the kingdom of God. But our longing for Jesus to come is that we can see him face to face. That we could be in his very presence. It's a reminder for the church as we celebrate the communion, and I love when the Apostle Paul writes in Corinthians, he says, do this until Christ comes. So we are reminded that Jesus will come again. Some will say, when will he come? I've been in church a long time, and I've been hearing about it all my life. I remember as a child growing up in church, they would scare the Ouija's out of us by telling us, if you're not right, you're staying behind. And that kept us right. I had dreams of being left behind. They showed us movies in the church that had us all crying at the altar. Right? Since a child, we have been taught Jesus is coming again. No one knows the day or the hour. Every generation after Jesus, including the disciples, thought that he would return in their generation. No one knows the day or the hour. He may come. Some think that he's coming in these times. Well, we at the church, we live like if Jesus is coming today. And I've said this before. And we live like he's not coming in our lifetime. We live like he's coming today. Oh, if he would sound the trumpet today, that we could be in his very presence. How awesome would that be? But how beautiful would it be that you and I could live a long life on this earth and live as soldiers of Jesus all the days of our lives. That we could live as soldiers for the kingdom of God all the days of our lives, to usher people into eternity, to example the image of Christ. Oh, how awesome would that be to live a long life and be able to see and be able to say, Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has helped us. The Bible teaches us that he will come again. As a church, we don't know when. We don't know the day or the hour. In fact, the Bible says he will come like a thief in the night. So for those that you hear are trying to figure it out, just tell them what scripture says. He will come like a thief in the night. No one knows the day or the hour. In fact, the Bible says two will be in the field. One will be taken, the other will be left. Two will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken, one will be left. It's a reminder to us that not everybody will make it. That's a hard reality. Not everyone will make it. In fact, in Revelation, it talks about the second resurrection of the dead, those that will have to confront their Savior. And their names are not written in the book of life. And they have no advocate. They have no Savior. They have no one to say, I shed my blood for them for the forgiveness of their sins. Somebody will have to pay the wages of sin for their lives. And Jesus didn't, because they didn't accept him as their personal Savior. So they will have to defend themselves. And their good works is not enough for salvation, for the forgiveness of sins. Blood must be shed. A price must be paid. Only one can pay that price. Jesus did 2,000 years ago on the cross. And as we celebrate the communion, we're reminded that he is not only human, but he is divine. And he is the Savior of the world. He is the Savior of the world. So to the church today, I tell you how lamps must be kept filled with oil. We are the bride of Christ. We are the church, and we must live a life that our lamps are filled with oil. As we wait for the groom, as we wait for the sound of the trumpet, we, the church, wait anxiously and ready. For if he were to come today, our lamps are filled with oil. And the church says, so Jesus will come. He will come, whether he comes in our lifetime or the next. One day the Bible teaches us that the dead in Christ will be raised first. So if you have loved ones that have passed on, you will see them again. I love that Jesus says to his disciples when he was talking about his end in John chapter 14. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back to take you to be where I am. Oh, it's a blessing for us. As you celebrate the communion today, Remember the divinity of Jesus. He's immutable. He's unchanging. The same yesterday, today, and forever. As I close, with the help of the musicians, the joy of communion, the joy of communion. The communion reminds us of community. It's important. It's important that we remember that as we gather today, though among us there's much diversity, there needs to be unity. That before Christ, we're all the same. No one is different. No one is better. Regardless of the color of our skin or the language that we speak or the country in which we were born in or the amount of money that we make, we are all the same before Jesus. And there needs to be a love that penetrates each and every heart that resembles the love of Christ for all of humanity. So as we gather and we celebrate community, examine yourselves and say, is there someone I need to approach? Is there someone I need to talk to? Is there someone I need to share with? Is there some conflict I need to resolve? We may not all get along, but we can all love each other in a way that honors our faith in Christ. And the church says, amen. Number two, Jesus reminds of his purpose. It's a new covenant. He is the Savior of the world. He came to save the lost. You and I were in that bunch. And today we have found life in Christ. That is the purpose of communion. So we come in gratitude to the Lord. And Jesus reminded us of his divinity. He tells his disciples, we will do this again, but not in this incarnated state, but in a glorified state. One day the church will come together again and we will share in the presence of Jesus. And the church says, I'm going to invite you to stand. As we get ready to close, perhaps there's someone here today that the Lord is speaking to you because you feel far. The communion is offered to those who love Jesus. It is not something we do as out of a religious responsibility. And it's not something that we do that sanctifies us. No, we come in gratitude to the table to share in the presence of God. And the requirement for Holy Communion is, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That is the requirement. Are you a lover of Jesus? Are you living a life that pleases Him? Pleases Him. Not perfect, but trying your best to please Him. Then you are invited to the table to share with Jesus. You're invited to have communion with Him. Perhaps there's someone here today that says, I'm far from God. I need to reconcile. I need to go back. I need to be in His presence again. I need to fix my life. I need to ask Him to forgive me of my sins and restore me to the way that I know I should be. Today, the Bible says, is a day of salvation. Today is a good day to reconcile to the Lord and to say, Jesus, I need You. I need You. Or maybe you're here today and you know that you're lost. And you know that you're lost. You know that you're lost in sin. You know that that you are so far from God that you need to ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. Today is the day of salvation. No one has the right to judge anyone because we are all beggars that have found bread. No one has the right to say anything negative of it. We're lost, and because of Christ, we have found grace. We're all beggars that have found bread, and today we offer You the bread of life. His name is Jesus. As we sing this song, if you feel like today is a day of reconciliation for you, or today is the day of salvation for you, then I invite you to be brave and come to this altar here, and our pastors, we will gather with you, and we will love you through this prayer of faith that will change your life forever. Change your life forever. For the church, our job is to examine ourselves and to say, Lord, help me to live the life that you've called to live. God bless you. God keep you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.